I know the DJ.
Do you?
You gotta 90s baby, stand up. You're coming back because I'm blowing in it. Pause. I take my craft serious.
Get the hell out of here. I don't owe you shit.
Welcome to episode 93 of But I Know the DJ, the original New England podcast discussing all things DJing, music, nightlife, business, and pop culture. The unfiltered opinions of host Snacks.
Give me Snacks,
DJs,
baby.
DJs, Fingers, and Cammy V. Welcome, boys.
I'm just going to start dropping diss tracks to y'all just because it's like, I'm in the fucking, it's just the season right now. Drop a diss track. If you were to drop a diss track, what kind of beat would you use? Would you use like a sinister beat or like, I feel like you use like a Jersey Club beat or some shit like that.
I would do up-tempo because I think when it, just thinking of the, of past diss tracks when it's slower and it's like, it just sounds so boom bap because you want everyone to hear every word you're saying and to piece it together versus like if you're just flowing, like it's like, it becomes like, oh shit, like, because it shows your rap chops.
Like 100 BPM.
You're running
like
chops. Yeah. Like I think it just, You just want to sound, if you can sound good while ripping somebody apart, I think it makes it a lot better.
I think the sample is huge. Like if you can sample something like that is relevant, relevant to them, or like an iconic like diss track sample, like a light sample, even if it's like a couple words or something like that, I feel like that hits a little bit more too.
I think you would have a guitar solo in yours or some shit.
That'd be kind of sick.
Why? Because I'm white.
Definitely.
White boy.
White boy.
DJ Cammy V.
That's what Drake did. When Drake does that, you know it's about to be a fucking, he's going off. He came down from his fucking lair. He's like, these fucking peasants. And just kind of just, he was just bullying everybody. It felt like schoolyard teases.
Schoolyard teases.
Like you dweeb, you.
Oh, schoolyard teases. Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I see what you're saying now. Yes, being like, wait, you mean a size 7 shoe?
Yeah, like shit. Like his jabs were like,
but
like,
I. But okay, so one, I think Drake is funny. Like he's always kind of been a little goofy and witty. Like, and it's just like, you know, some content that he puts like since the beginning, he's always been like that. Granted, he's half white. I think incorporating that in a diss track, I think it's good. I think when it's like too serious.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it, like even when you think of like No Vaseline, like there were some lines where you were like, like, you know what I mean? Like you're just like, oh my god. So I think that makes it funny, but also like when you create intricacies in your rhymes and you're like, oh shit, like the double entendres, like Drake. Honestly, I don't think people talk about his like double meanings like enough.
No, like, I think some people get it after. Like that's why. Oh shit.
If you dissect it, there's layers.
So.
To it.
Obviously, we're talking about the beef, the infinity war of hip hop, if you will. Because what's going on right now is
20 verse 1.
Awesome. It's fucking great. And as of this recording, Drake had recently dropped his rebuttal to kind of all the madness. If you listen to the last episode, I actually said that Drake was never going to respond at all. And he proved me wrong. Fucking!
I believe in Aubrey.
The beige bandit is at it again. Oh my goodness! And speaking of beats, this is a 90 BPM beat, which if we kind of go back, I think back to back was like 85 or something like that. Like I like this pocket for him, and I think he's very comfortable at this tempo. And man. I had to listen to this shit like 5 times to like really hear what he was doing.
Well, the first leak, when they put it out the first time, it wasn't mastered.
Right.
They re-put it out.
I think it's still not mastered.
It's still not done.
Supposedly they did.
Yeah, allegedly. But I will say that the first beat I thought was better because,
I agree.
To my point, he also sampled Biggie.
Yeah.
Which is obviously pretty iconic. Like thinking of like, quote unquote, East Coast versus West Coast. He's taking a shot at Kendrick in the West.
Shut up. Hey, yo, next time you're late, I'm going to fucking pop your tires. Next time you're 8, 8-0's going to get you fired. You know what I'm saying? Diss tracks.
Jeez.
You know what I'm saying?
Jesus Christ.
It's that time of year, son. We're doing diss tracks out here, cuz.
For the love of the sport.
What the fuck is Metro going to do?
Jeez. Hit some drums.
What is Metro going to do?
Hit some drums.
never be nobody number one fan. Your first number one, I had to put it in your hand. That's Future. Pussies can't get booked outside America for Nan. I'm out in Tokyo because I'm bigger in Japan. I'm the hit maker y'all depend on. Backstage in my city, it was friend zone. You won't ever take no chain off of us. How the fuck you big stepping with a size 7 man's on? That's fucked up, man.
That's so funny.
He's a size 8.
Yeah, his shoe guy. Research. His shoe guy goes.
He's a size that you cannot do his that.
Shoe guy, his shoe guy tweeted out like, "Actually, I've been selling him shoes for years. He's 8 to 9."
Yeah, fucked up, Drake. That's can't terrible. Run him down like that.
Yo. That's funny.
It's fucked up,
bro. If what size are you?
10.
What are you?
10.5.
I think if you're under a 10, like it's just all the same. Like 7 to 8 is not.
Are we fucking foot shaming there?
I'm just saying, I think the point that he was trying to come across is just fucking, like, you're just a little
you're
dude.
Big, you're not a big stepper.
Yeah, like you know what I'm saying? Like, I think if you're under a 10, you're kind of just like, ah.
You call him a pipsqueak.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. But that's what I mean. These schoolyard teases are almost, like, meaner. Like, to imagine if he was like, oh, I fuck your bitch or something like that. It's like, yeah. Okay, cool. But
personal,
pipsqueak?
Personal attacks.
Pipsqueak is crazy. Yeah. Another man. And that's the thing, Drake is, like, what, 6'2"? 6'1"? Like, yeah. You know, like, he can say these things, yeah. You know,
I mean, to talk about the more serious things where he hinted at was his splits deals with Top Dog, yeah. his contracts and shit like that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Drake definitely, you know, puts it out there that he has one of the best contracts out there besides Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
That was one of the serious shits. I'm trying to look at the stuff that's like, oh shit. Other than that, everything else, like I said, was more just like, motherfucker, you're not on my level type shit.
I love his references to the bars from the previous record, from everyone's records, especially the Prince and Michael Jackson bar. Yeah. Crazy. And there's obviously multiple, like double entendres in that as well.
Yeah. So what is it? What's the Prince to a King? He's a son or something like that.
Right. Michael Jackson has a son named Prince.
Yeah. I mean, but even initially, like, the prince is the king's son.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, again, Michael Jackson is the king
these
of pop.
These multiple meanings.
Yeah.
That it's in awesome. Theory, it's a very simple line.
Yeah.
When you start thinking about it, you start bringing, you're like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck? And again, Drake has always kind of been like that, even with the back-to-back cover, like artwork.
Yeah.
Of the Toronto Blue Jays beating the Philadelphia Phillies back-to-back for the World Series. Like,
yeah.
That crazy connection is crazy.
Yeah,
now,
it is crazy.
Now, okay. Hopefully this is not a redo of Pusha T where Kendrick kind of said, bang, bang, brought him out, and then he's going to hit him with the motherfucking...
Well, that's exactly why I think Drake leaked his diss track, because he hasn't officially dropped it, to be fair.
Yeah,
he's making a lot of posts on social media, which we're going to get into in a second.
Well,
I'm saying he hasn't like officially dropped it, and he hasn't officially been like, "Yep, this is me." But it's very fucking obvious that it's out in the internet. Everyone's heard it. Everyone's reacting to it. I just think it's wild, like the coverage that this track has gotten already, and it's not even officially released, in my opinion.
Well, I kind of like the way he dropped it, because back then, dudes would be sending diss tracks to the radio station and Funk Flex would be dropping them, right? They wouldn't be out. You have to go get them in a mixtape or something like that. He used the new age of that, which is streaming. Streamers. They're the media right now.
Yeah.
That's
so he
point.
Gave it to the media. He gave it to them.
He gave it to academics.
Give it to academics, all right?
Who is now, a DJ?
Who is a DJ?
Allegedly.
Is he?
You know what I'm
allegedly.
Is he?
They say. But then, you know, that brought up the engagement so much, because then mad people were, you know, cropping that out and putting it up online and talking about it online so much that, like, people went online and was just flooding it, trying to find it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that, to me, was a genius move.
Yeah.
For engagement. He doesn't need the streams for that.
No, Drake has always been tapped in like that.
But yeah. I guess in a time and age where, obviously, like, AI is definitely a big component now, too. You know, that there's been, you know, even before Drake dropped, there was like, oh, yeah, like Drake dropped a diss track, but it was definitely AI. And like, oh, Kendrick replied, obviously AI. So it's like,
yeah.
in that kind of scope of where we are now, like, yeah, sick move on his part. But I would like for him to like officially drop and kind of just stand on it. But I think to the point I was making earlier, it's like, hey, let me kind of just like leak this to the masses. and almost throw a couple jabs first to see if Kendrick has something in the tank, which in the song he goes, I know you've had a reply for me for 4 years
for
four now.
Years. Yeah, there's a rumor going on that he's had a track for, but I think they all had shit for each other for years now.
For sure.
I mean, I think the fact that it's not released and that it's just getting so much attention too is a point to be made. Where, yeah, you know what I mean?
And that's alluding to him kind of being like, yo, I don't really need the clout for this.
Yeah. And I think it's the difference of like, you had to get your shit off on the biggest track on a record. That's not yours.
You made a hit record.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you hopped on a hit record.
I'm just going to have a leak and more people are talking about it. More people are going to play it. Like, I think it's that commentary too. So some of the direct lines, you know, now going into Rick Ross, you know, he had bars for multiple artists on this, like 3 minute track of no chorus.
There's really. A chorus.
Not like a.
The dropping Give Me 50 is a chorus because he repeats it.
Well, he goes like back and forth from it. But I don't think there's like it's similar to like back to back where it's like, you know, back to back kind of has a chorus, but like it's mostly just him just rapping. It's mostly his like breaks.
Yeah.
But it's him spitting for 3 minutes straight,
mm.
Which is awesome, and what we kind of wanted from him for a long time. But for Rick Ross, it's I might take your latest girl and cuff her like I'm Ricky, because for those who don't know, Rick Ross was a former
correctional officer.
Thank you. Can't believe he jumping and this dude turning 50. Dude's a little old. What's he doing?
Also, could be a reference to him trying to jump in the pool and brutally fail.
Also a double entendre with his beef with 50.
That as well.
Every song that made it on the chart he got from Drizzy.
Valid.
A lot of good collabs from the two.
Valid.
Very sad to see that go.
Yep.
Spend that little check you got and stay out my business. Worry about whatever going on with you and...
Blank.
Trails off.
Which I think he was going to say 50.
Right. Or did he?
I'd say 50 because 50's still going at Ross hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that beef has not ended yet. He's like, yo, worry about that beef. Don't worry about me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think he was going to say 50. I don't think Diddy because...
A lot of people are alluding to the fact that he meant Diddy. Just because Diddy has so much shit that's going on and Rick Ross. And I think him trailing off is like...
Okay.
Everyone's going to know what I mean.
Okay.
That there's some shit that people don't know behind the door that... So shut up before I start talking about it.
Yeah. I don't think he said anything too crazy to kill Kendrick. I don't think he said anything that's like, I know people alluding that he said.
I don't think Kendrick said anything to kill Drake, though.
No. I said like, the only thing with, like I said, with Kendrick was that it was like the most direct that it's ever been.
Yeah.
And this is now Drake being the most direct that he has ever been. So now, after this, it has to be complete demolish on both sides. There's no room for play. Like, Kendrick has to come out and straight up demolish this motherfucker.
I loved the the lines about, oh yeah, like the label calls, you got to do a verse for Maroon 5, do one for the Swifties.
Which is that whole shit. Listen, Drake has a commercial when he's in the studio, when he's in the gym, being extra zesty, dancing to Taylor Swift. Drake has done pop records.
I think it's the difference, though, of like, I have my pop records because I wanted to do pop records because I can do pop records. Your attempt at doing pop records is doing the token black boy feature on some of these corny ass songs.
Yeah, but which were kind of not that corny songs. The songs were high on the charts. Bad Blood was a high charting song.
I think that song would have been really great.
I thought it got released first without Kendrick.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. He's the token black boy. Like, oh, like let's get some hip hop on this.
He's not. It's like, he didn't invent this, guys. Everyone does this.
No, I know. I'm not saying Levitating came out.
So it was nothing. It was nothing where it's like, oh my god, like, crazy.
But I think his point is that like Drake is like, I'm, it's pop star, right? Like it's I can be a pop star, I can be a rap star. Like you can't, your attempt at being a pop star is like being the token black boy feature of these songs. I think because it is a very different, you know, dynamic and how they approached the pop charts.
Mm. Well, the reason why I respect it because Kendrick was still Kendrick on those songs. He didn't change his the way he raps. He didn't change.
Sure.
He was still him on those songs.
But I feel like most rappers do that. You know what I mean? Like
some rappers kind of like, you know, bubblegum themselves up a little bit. He was still aggressive on Bad Blood.
I mean, I think about like Old Dirty Bastard on Fantasy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't swear.
Well, Old Dirty Bastard is his Old Dirty Bastard.
Yeah. what I'm saying is, like, he doesn't swear, but he's still, like, very is very much him. So I think, and then I think when you think of, like, the locks on Jenny from the Block, like, and I mean, honestly, a lot of the
well, if you think about the dudes that you're naming, they're very core to themselves. They're, you know what I'm saying? So that's definitely the exception to it, but... Other than that, I think, again, this was just Drake jabbing. So, to me, what comes next, and supposedly he mentioned homie's wife, Whitney. People are saying that because that's his wife, is Whitney. But
Wait.
Who's wife? Kendrick's wife's name is Whitney, I think.
Oh, so that's what the Whitney line is about?
I don't know what it's tying to with the whole bodyguard shit. I know the bodyguard shit was with the movie Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You think it's the double meeting?
I'm trying to figure out. I've been trying to figure out what the meaning is, but he's Jesus. That's Drake. But Drake, listen. this time Drake. I don't want you to sit down and be like, "Yo, when he drops his diss record, this is mean. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to back out." Like you mentioned people's wives. You heard. You saw what happened last time.
Yeah.
Control, same shit. When Control came out, you went to Elliot and you talked about how mean he was and how you don't understand why he's doing this. You don't understand why he's doing that. To me, even when Control Drop wasn't him really dissing anybody. It was him being like, "Yo, I respect you motherfuckers, but this is hip-hop.
Right.
And I'm here to take you guys' heads off."
Yeah.
And then Drake, instead of replying or actually like being like in a fight with it, he went on an interview like he did years later and talked about how like it was like kind of like mean and like how why you don't know why he's doing that and this and that, got real emotional about it.
You guys want to hear my new ringtone?
God. What is Metro gonna do, bro? What are you gonna go and start sampling shit?
Wait, yeah. He's gonna. The only way he can respond is by doing the thing
hit
that Drake
drums.
Says. Yeah. And they're going on tour now. They just announced Future and Metro going on tour, which the timing is I don't think in their favor.
No, definitely not.
Like, no one really wants to root for the corny losers right now. You know what I mean? And they do have a stop in Toronto.
You want to hear my ringtone?
Which
right,
is
right before Boston.
Oh, Jesus.
You want to hear my ringtone?
Oh, shit. Boo. Who did that?
Just people doing the AI shit. So someone came out with BBL Drizzy was trending a few days ago where people were doing a bunch of AI tracks. So
and so that's from Rick Ross.
Rick Ross's
this. So Rick Ross. Okay, oh, there's just so much.
so much to talk about.
So
champagne.
The Drake leak happens. What day was it? Fuck it.
Saturday.
Was it Saturday?
Yeah, it was the day you ran.
That was the day I ran.
Yeah,
because I texted you guys. I was like,
I was listening to it on the way home from the... That's crazy.
Yeah.
So it drops on Saturday. Obviously, the internet's going crazy. Within an hour.
Yeah, hour or two.
Rick Ross comes out with the rebuttal, which, when we talk about rap beefs, is exactly what we want.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, he had that in the tank.
He went super personal. He went super disrespectful.
But to be like, "Shut the shit off, we're get in the booth." Like,
no
energy.
I think he had it in the
It was
tank.
Just done. It was
he
just done.
Him, nah, he was he in the studio. It. He was in the studio.
Yeah, he was posting videos of him in the studio.
Remember he was laughing?
Yeah, he was posting videos of him in the studio.
And you can tell he just did a one track and was like, "Yo, put that shit out."
So fish tanks and marble floors, living big and bad. Niggas laugh until they hit with my official jab. See, like, I hate this beat.
But it fits Ross.
Okay, you're right. But thing is, like, if he had, like, the amount of fucking crack pusher ass fucking beats he could have done, and he does, like, I think this beat's weak. The tempo is very Ross, but I think this beat is...
Yeah, but Rick Ross doesn't really rap, like, at that
speed.
Nah,
he can rap, bro.
He can,
Rick Ross can rap.
Yeah, but historically, nah. That this is very Rick Ross. Exhaust from my pen and pad. Ghost writers, they get the floss.
What you could have had. Record label taking a loss. Are you Maddie, mad? Shut the fuck up!
Yo, Maddie.
My sister's fucking texting
Maddie.
Me.
Maddie.
Jesus. Crazy.
Dude. Talk about it.
Crazy, man.
No, but yo, but all seriousness, like he was just super disrespectful on that shit, bro.
The whole cease and desist with French Montana because he had a verse on French Montana song and he
what I like about exactly what I like about this record, he put out information that the people did not know.
Right.
He put out information that's very speculative. You can go and be like, oh shit, did this really happen? Did that really happen? Oh shit, I didn't know about that. That is great in hip hop. That is awesome. I love that.
Yeah, and also like, but you talking about like the schoolyard teases, like his were just little like. Teases like I don't think he said anything super profound, like,
but he said things that made the internet react, just like back to yeah. back the internet reacted. That's what mm-hmm. made that shit super crazy. And if you think about back to back, what even made it even crazier was when he went on stage and did all the memes and shit.
Yeah
that maybe, took it above and beyond. So I think that happening and then BBL Drizzy going viral and shit with his nose going viral. Yeah, Drake texting his mom texting Drake, and then Drake.
I think that was a setup though.
But that's an L.
I think that was a setup.
I don't like that. Drake shouldn't have done that. I think that backfired against him because it's Ross. Ross is gonna use it against you. He went online and reacted to it, and that got more play than what Drake did. That people made fun of Drake because of that, because what Rick Ross said after that. So I think Rick Ross was more effective in that way, to the fact that Drake right now is still responding to Drake to Rick Ross's record through text messages, through posts and shit like that.
So you think Rick Ross is up right now?
I think Rick Ross is up right now because it's Drake is because Drake is reacting to it. Listen, Drake,
I get what you're saying.
You know, Drake is supposed to be like, "Yo, I'm on this pedestal shit. Why would I come down and fuck with you, motherfuckers?" So, Drake would have ignored it.
I think Drake is more outspoken about the Ross stuff because he has more than Rick Ross, like in like across the board. Versus Kendrick, people will argue who's the better rapper, right? People are like, "Oh, Kendrick."
Man, they're all fucking.
No, listen,
man.
Listen. Apples and oranges. No, but like even in the thing that you just sent me, where he's like, "Oh, like you have to get a." Like a jet ski wrapped, or like he's basically saying
he's
that like
Rick
Ross is rich, but he's nowhere close to me. Like,
yeah,
and I can like tease him and fuck around because I'm just so far above. Versus Kendrick, you know, he's part of the big three. Like we all put him on the same kind of thing. Like you're either a Drake fan or a Kendrick fan. Like I think that's the reason why he gives that more time, because he can fuck with it more.
Snacks, to your point too. So Drake had been texting Mal from the new Rory and Mal podcast.
I saw this. Yep.
And you know, Mal asked him like, "Hey, what'd you think about Rick Ross's reply?" And Drake goes, "I turned off Rick Ross' diss record once he said that he was richer than
me." Drake read that wrong. Drake read that line wrong. A lot of people read that line wrong. That line is him mimicking Drake. Saying, "I got more, what are you going to say to me? You got more money than me? Cool. Which house do you want me to pick?" That's what he meant in that line. He's not saying he has more money than Drake. He's saying he meant that line to mimic Drake, like, "Yo, what do you,
your rebuttal to me
is going to be like, you have more money than me. Cool. Which house do you want me to pick to go live in? It doesn't matter how fucking much money you got. I'm fucking filthy rich too, motherfucker." So that's why I'm like, that "I got more money than you" shit, it means nothing to me in rap beef. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Especially when it comes to apples and oranges. "Oh, you got a couple more million than me? Or a bill, what are you, a billion? I'm almost close."
Ye's pool is nice. Mine is bigger.
It's stupid, bro. It's a stupid argument. So that's why he said that in that line, and people took that the wrong way.
But I think in hip hop, as a genre that glorifies money and flexing so much, that it does matter. You know,
I agree.
I mean? I think you, Drake being like, "Okay, like, you fly in private jets, I own a private jet." Like those are like different. You
know
what I mean?
That I feel like that mattered more in earlier hip hop, when hip hop wasn't as lucrative. It wasn't as, when there wasn't too much millionaires in hip hop. Now
I think it's still
no,
super
but
big.
But it didn't really do much. It didn't really hit hard. Yeah, I got more money. Like, okay, cool. We all know you're rich, Drake. We all know that. But now it doesn't hit as hard as that would hit back in the day, because there wasn't as much millionaires years in hip hop. Now hip hop, you know, people have taken hip hop and flipped it. And Ross with the Wingstops and the Bel Air and shit like that. He's up. He got fucking money. You know what I'm saying? So to him, that's whatever. I'm in my fucking billion-dollar mansion. What are we talking about?
40,000 square foot. Yeah.
What the fuck hip-hop, are we talking about?
Hip hop, real hip hop.
So you know what I'm saying? So were you happy / impressed with Drake's diss?
Yes, I think. I was happy with what he did. It was needed. I didn't think he had to come out super hard. Because you know everything's been jabbing so far. So okay, he jabbed him out, but he needs to be prepared for what's to come. Because I think that was a lure. I think what Kendrick did was a lure. I didn't think that was supposed to be something that was, oh my god. I think that was to be like, all right, cool. I'm sick of this shit. Let's fucking do it. I'm going to be direct with you.
So with these rap beefs, do we think winning and not winning is just contingent on who can drop the biggest secret? Or is it about the rapping?
I think that's a part of it. I think the rapping is definitely where this is going to lie. And I don't know if you know, but there's been another reference that was dropped through Metro of Yachty, the Jumbotron song that fucking Drake has.
Jumbotron shit.
There is a reference of Little Yachty.
Well,
that he wrote it.
To your point, Two Fingers. Yeah. Also on that project.
Record's not even that big though.
I know, a bigger one on Metro and Future's album. I don't know if you guys listened. I forget what the name of the song is, but it was the reference track Future wrote. That's Feel No Way.
Yeah, Feel No Ways. Future wrote that. So Future went on one of his songs on the album and kind of did that same flow.
He put it out there. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is
so
where
that's people, a bigger that's a bigger one.
Yeah.
Future
they're saying that Future wrote that.
Did it.
Feel
No
Way.
Feel No Way. Feel No Way.
Oh, that is a Future. That is a Future type. Feel No Way.
And again,
oh, Future with sounds so good.
Again,
he does listen to the album. Again, trust me.
And Drake, like I said, Drake is a pop star. Of course, Drake, I think Drake wouldn't come this far without having writers in the room.
Yeah.
All right. You are a big star. It happens. All right. But now, like, that's what with hip hop that there's always that thing where people are questioning that with the pen shit. I'm this. I'm that. So whenever he writes something, like when he wrote this, he's like, the ghostwriters were winning overtime on this shit. So that's always going to be something that's going to be hanging over his head no matter what.
Do we think that just the fact that this beef is happening, the 20v1, the fact that the industry is going against Drake and Drake is in full Thanos mode, what does that say about him? What does that say about hip-hop? What does that say about Drake's legacy?
I think for his legacy-wise, I mean, when you're at the top, you know, everyone wants to come for the spot, right? Yeah. And the fact that, in my opinion, I think with his diss record, he was able to fend off pretty much everybody that had words for him and did it better than they did. What does that say about him as a person that everyone's trying to go for him? I don't know.
So you guys think that Drake didn't provoke any of what's going on?
No, I didn't say that. I said the.
Why are you gaslighting me?
I'll let you be the judge of that.
That was a question.
No, I think let's put it this way. I think part of it is the fact that, you know, he's out here. He is number one. He's not shy to say it. But also, I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest bit if, like, yeah, behind closed doors, he's probably wronged a lot of people. I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Like, people thought that the Rick Ross shit was tied to him with the female, and that was tied to him sending a cease and desist letter to French. So I think there's a lot of behind closed doors things that are happening.
Sure.
And let's not forget that Drake is very powerful.
Yeah.
I feel like Drake in the industry, he's right there. I feel like he has stakes in people's contracts and people's careers. I feel like he's put stops to a lot of shit.
He's also started a lot of careers.
He started a lot of careers. And I think also he's at a point where he doesn't really want to fuck with these dudes. I think he's turning down a lot of people. I think people are asking for features. I think people are asking for the stimmy, and he's saying no. Mm. He was supposed to be on the French Montana album. The cease and desist letter was for his verse. So he recorded the verse, sent it in, and then pulled it back for some reason.
Was it Splash Bros, I think, was the song?
Yeah, pulled it back, and that's the Ross was on that record as well.
And he thought that was corny and whatever. And
pulled it back or whatever. and I guess either it delayed the album or something like that, but they're supposed to be boys. And so
yeah. I mean, those are all frequent collaborators.
Yeah. I don't know what that did for the album, but, you know.
I mean, if you get a Drake record.
I mean, of course.
I'll tell you, that was the first song I went to, and I was like, where is Drake? I thought he was supposed to be on this.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, this is definitely not just people, everyone in the industry going at Drake. Everyone in the industry right now is tied that's going at Drake is tied to Drake. He was either close to them, they either had business together, or
they fucked the same.
There's been some fucking rumors of some shit between the two. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, valid.
So, but I will say that as far as current hip hop is concerned, Drake is the most battle tested.
Yes.
So, like, you know, we can talk about the pop star stuff, the ghostwriter stuff. He is the guy who's been challenged the most and that has faced the challenges and gone through the challenges the most in hip hop right now.
And still came out on top.
And is still on top. So I think we need to hold that.
Drake, no matter what comes out about Drake, I think Drake is going to be on top regardless.
Hey, yo.
So no matter what, look, the Pusha T.
Whatever. I'm good.
The Pusha T shit.
Yeah.
You know, that came out, put a chink in his armor, but obviously it's not going to stop him from. So Drake. No one's gonna ever stop Drake from making money unless some like allegations come out that are fucking crazy on some like R. Kelly shit, Diddy shit. But
that being said,
I leave that away. No one's ever gonna what people are gonna go after is credibility.
Oh, here we go.
Familiarity. Yes, there you go.
His credibility as a rapper, which to him is important to him.
Yeah.
And to me, I think him and Kendrick are fighting for the same thing in a different way. Kendrick wants to be number one, wants to be that the top, and Drake wants to be respected as the rapper's rapper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Valid. No, very valid.
Fuck you both. What the fuck is going on? What? Fuck you both. What's going on?
Nothing.
You said top. And
no, that's not what I was.
Yeah. Yes. Not. Yes. No, you what, were. No, that's no, why no, he no, started his smile. No. He started a smile, and I said, "Grow up."
He stuttered and it made me laugh. He stuttered. It made me laugh.
What, so people that stutter make you laugh? You know the people that.
No, I think yes, I think you stuttering makes me laugh.
Why does that make you laugh?
Because you've had issues in the past on the show of like stuttering and struggling with words, and I think it's funny. I hit it. You didn't even know I was laughing until he started.
You know I'm like kind of dyslexic, and that's like
that's not what dyslexia is. Dyslexia is with reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you reading?
I'm reading in my mind.
Drop a diss track about it.
The fuck?
Rhyme dyslexic with something.
Eclectic.
Oh my god. You know, it's Coachella season.
Oh my fucking god.
I can't wait to talk about this.
I was in bed when I saw this shit and I was like, what the fuck?
Coachella season. Oh my god. Coachella is kind
of the peak of DJing, some would say.
So on Saturday, Grimes lived what is probably the nightmare of every Coachella performer. Debilitating equipment malfunctions in front of thousands of fans, possibly millions watching online. While things seemed fine for the first half of her set, things began breaking down during the second, and she tried explaining the problems had to do with programming of the tracks on her mixing desk. But shout out Variety.com for this article. But her frustration was evident, and she shouted and shrieked literally into the mic as things broke down several times. But by even the most charitable metric, it was a disaster. Yo, when they say shouting and shrieking into the mic, I'm telling you, if you haven't seen the video, please look it up. It's like a bad mix happening, and then her grabbing the mic and just going,
dude.
Matter of fact, pull up the fucking video.
Yeah, we got to put it up right now.
This shit always fucking happens. All my tracks are twice as fast, so I'm not mixing very well. But This one is actually not my fault. But I will actually take responsibility for it regardless. But
what do you think happened there?
So, okay, I know exactly what happened.
But before we do, question to either of you guys. Do you guys know who Grimes is?
No, I had never heard of him before this.
Look it up, fact check this. Grimes is Elon Musk's baby mama.
Really?
Makes yep. Makes the story even
Phil, am better. I right?
Put the porn tab down.
Phil, what'd you say? You said something in the mic. I don't
Grimes,
know.
Grimes is Elon Musk's baby mama.
Really? Grimes, Elon Musk. Since, yeah, I guess.
Explain to us, you got the set.
Doing the divorce. Yeah, yeah. So.
Thank you, Phil.
Has had.
Not that that has anything to do with this, but also could probably very much well be the reason why she got this set, because none of us
have
heard
of her
before.
I mean, she's huge on social media. She's a pretty girl DJ, which is just a thing that annoys me. I just know I've met women who just want to literally have been like, oh, I just want to quit my job and become a pretty girl DJ. So
what happened there?
So. Okay, so before I go into what I think happened or what I firmly believe happened, she had this to say on Twitter after the debacle had happened. So this is quote-unquote from her Twitter. I want to apologize for the technical issues with the show tonight. I want to come back really strong, and usually I always handle every aspect of my show myself. To save time, this is one of the first times I've outsourced essential things like record box BPMs and letting someone else organize the tracks on the SD card, etc. Pause the quote. In what world are you going to have your first set at Coachella and outsource the set planning? How does that make any sense?
That seems
the biggest set of your life, and you're like, you know what? Let's
roll the dice here.
Let's give it to somebody I'd never met before. How about that?
Let's do it on Fiverr. I'll text somebody.
I bet any amount of money she had Ableton up on the screen. I bet any amount of money the songs was already laid out. And she fucked up and doesn't know how to use the program, and everything was out of whack.
Open the quote. I had a bad feeling beforehand, not having run everything through the CDJs myself. And though I flagged it, I wasn't insistent. The big lesson for me was a mix of 1, if you want it done right, do it yourself. 2, be a cunt even if people feel bad. 3, probably pretend it's fine and engage with the crowd, rather than spend a whole show slumped over the desk trying to fix software when you're meant to be entertaining. I'll personally organize all the files next week. I'll not let such a thing happen again. I've spent months on this show, clearly not, making music and visuals, and admittedly, I'm not in the best mood at the moment. But yeah, next week will be flawless. Everything will run through my hands. Some good lessons learned. Bless y'all. The CDJs were showing me BPMs like 370, so I couldn't even mix manually by ear, and the front monitors were off. So it was literally sonic chaos on my end trying to guess how stuff was sounding for you guys.
You couldn't mix by ear because you was looking at the number. So you couldn't mix by ear, you idiot. If you're mixing by ear, you don't need to look at the fucking number.
So
all you have to do is just press play, hear it. You should know, okay, that's around 120, 125. And if you're mixing by ear, you should be doing this and adjusting the tempo without even looking at the tempo. Because it's either middle, up, high, or low. What the fuck are you talking about?
So the issue with a lot of these like new age DJs, and especially in the dance world and in the record box world, is because so much of the music is so similar and just really long extended intros, outros, it's very, you know, compared to like hip-hop open format DJing, it's very, very normal to press sync. And just kind of ride the set with it being on sync every track, especially again. If your whole set's at 128, it's pretty fucking easy, right?
It's not that hard.
Lock the grid in. What I believe happened was because someone else, she outsourced the set, which that alone is crazy to me. If you have a song at 65 mixing into 130, in theory it's the same. It's just halftime on the screen. Yeah. The number is halftime.
Right.
But they should be mixed perfectly together. If you press sync, guess what the fuck happens? If you press sync on a 65 to a 130, it's going to double the speed. And all of a sudden, you don't recognize the song anymore. So
that's exactly what I mean.
And so what she says, my tracks were playing double time, and I didn't know what the fuck to do. You were so used to pressing sync every track. That's how you DJ, is you load up a song, press sync, it locks in the grid, and then I just press play, I can dance the rest of the time, and it's cute and it's awesome. What happens when sync doesn't work? Oh, you mix manually.
Yep.
You mix by ear. What happens if you can't? You start train wrecking.
You start screaming on the mic.
What happens if you start train wrecking and it's something you've never dealt with? What happens if you start train wrecking with something you never dealt with at Coachella?
In front of thousands of people.
You just start throwing it at the wall. So and shout out Joe Bunn, DJ Joe Bunn. He made a really cool reel talking about this, and it was so fucking legit. Like, there's something to say about what he said is, if the CDJs are on and they're playing the song, the CDJs are working.
Yep.
It's not that the CDJs weren't working. Something happened. You don't know what that thing was, and you didn't know how to fix it.
Yep.
That's the difference between, oh, the tech isn't working versus me not knowing what the fuck I'm doing. These are things that if you're a seasoned, experienced DJ, you can figure out, mm-hmm. right?
Knowing your equipment.
Knowing your equipment and knowing your music and knowing how to troubleshoot. Like, so, like, for instance, when someone hits the reverse on a CDJ, for a second you're like, fuck. But you know exactly how to fix it. You know that there's one button that reverses the track. So you just muscle memory. I know it's right there. I don't even have to look at it. Fix it. Right? You know how to sync. You should know how to unsync. Even if it's synced, you should know how to fix it.
Yep.
Make the tempo range wide. Do it manually and mix by ear. So when you remove all these experiences from a DJ's career, now it's either it works or it doesn't.
What did I say a couple episodes ago? Experience is the best teacher.
Yeah. Well, and so this is a perfect example of that. And there's also the part of professionalism.
Mm.
We've all done weddings. Imagine you go into a wedding and the DJ goes, guys, sorry, everything is fucked up. I don't know what's going on. Everything is wrong.
I'm done.
There's a certain level of professionalism that's, even if everything is going wrong, you have a poised look, you're locked in, you're a pro, you're experienced, and you find a way to work around it.
And there's no excuses of, oh, you go DJ, oh, pretend you come DJ downtown and something happens, you don't know how to fucking fix it. Motherfucker, I know how to use CDJs before I had it, 3 years before I had a CDJ, because you know what I did? I went to Guitar Center. They have them set up. I went over there and I learned how to fucking use a CDJ before I had a CDJ. Because mm-hmm. I knew if this was industry standard, this is what it's going to. I went, do your due diligence to learn the fucking equipment, all right? You can go, you learn how to use your phone. You learn how to use all these gadgets and shit like that. If this is really what you want to do, you really care about your fucking, your career as a DJ, knowing the equipment first is priority.
But in her scenario being, she's connected to Elon Musk. Money's not an issue, right? Time shouldn't really be an issue if this is what you're into. But when it's a game, when it's a toy, when it's, oh, like, I get to play Coachella. Oh my God, they're so cute. Like, Selvi. Like,
yeah, this is a side quest.
Yeah, a side quest. Yeah, nice. Like, when you skip the troubleshoot part of your career, when you skip the fuck, like, everything is going to shit, but hey, I'm at a bar of 50 people.
Yep.
What did I learn from this? When you take all that away, now you're in the biggest stage.
Yep.
And shit goes wrong. What do you do?
There's no excuse. Everything you said, I didn't hear anything you said, but the only thing that stuck out to me is, I don't know how to use this shit. I'm not a real DJ. I'm a push a button DJ.
Yeah.
I'm scripted.
Yeah.
Scripted is a good word.
And then the script ripped in half, and now you don't know what to do.
And now I'm fucked.
And you never went to improv class. You never went to acting school. You don't know how to make a story out of thin air. So now you're just standing there looking stupid in front of the camera.
You suck.
In front of thousands and thousands of people.
You suck.
That's good.
And so
you suck.
Well, but what's interesting is the quote unquote, next week will be flawless. Everything will run through my hands. The second chance, right? Which again is kind of shows how different of a process this is for this person. Where, for us, like, there is no second chance. If you bomb this bad, everyone knows, and it's hard to to come back from.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, like, she's definitely getting pretty a lot of heat, for, especially from DJs. This Twitter post alone, 2.4 million views.
Same shit happened to Skrillex. And I think he troubleshooted his set.
Bro, Skrillex is a CDJ fucking wizard.
He's a fucking legend.
Yeah,
bro.
He troubleshooted the shit and he fucking fixed it.
Yeah, yeah, he did everything live. Yeah.
That's a real fucking DJ. You are a cardboard box.
That's a great example. Yeah. Yeah, it is frustrating for guys like us, obviously, because it's like, dude, we've been in situations where we are able to think on our feet.
Yeah.
Because we've been there before. And when, again, like, experience is always the best teacher. And if you don't have those moments where it's like the oh shit moment, what, like, if you don't even know where to begin to look.
Yeah.
I mean, good fucking luck to
how
you.
How many openers have you had where it's the, why is this happening?
Yeah.
why isn't it?
where's the sink?
And how many times have you had that from an opener?
why aren't the tempos changing?
Yeah. What? What?
You have the master pitch on.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
These little things. But, you know, but again, it's, you know, that's part of the process, right? And, you know, we laugh about it, but that is part of the process. Like, be okay with messing up. Be okay, but be open to learning. And don't try and skip the shit. Don't try and rush into shit, because then you're going to end up like Grimes.
Cue her screaming now.
Fuck, that's so fucking weird. Oh, yeah, dude. She was fucking pregnant with this dude's kid. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yo, Elon's kind of a freak, because this girl is like, she's on a whole vibe that I can't really describe.
What do you think their kid's name's going to be, CDJ?
Triggered. Record box?
Gigabyte.
357.
Oh, God. But an amazing show, as always. Thanks so much for listening.
Oh, congratulations to Snacks on his marathon run, brother.
Hey, everyone, clap it up. Clap it up. Clap it up. Clap it up.
He's fucking sore right now, so if you see him, punch him in the leg.
Thank you.
Yeah, bro.
How do you feel, bro?
I'm so tired. Not just from the marathon, but that's that weekend. I mean, you guys were there for half of it. Like, that weekend is just so heavy. It's an amazing weekend in Boston, and what me and Pioneers Run Crew do is you know, a lot of work, and it's really you know, it's great stuff. But I'm just so tired.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, like, I ran the marathon and then, like, did other stuff. Yeah. Like, I, like, went to work. I did other events. Like, so, like, I never, like, had the chance to, like, really rest. My legs are actually, like, almost fully healed right now. But, like, my body just in general is just, like, very, very tired.
Yeah. No, we got a awesome video. We'll have Phil put it up here. Yeah. But awesome video of when Snacks crossed the finish line.
The boys were there. The fam was there. The crew was there. Had the homies DJing our finish line, which was awesome. Shout out Red Bull.
Shout out Red Bull.
Shout out Rico, who was there.
It was an amazing day. I encourage everybody to do something that's challenging. Impossible is nothing. Nothing is impossible. And really just set your priorities and lock in. That's really the best advice. Everyone's like, how do you do it? And I'm like, yo, just lock the fuck in. That's really the only way you can do it.
Consistency, baby.
Consistency and having a goal. And this applies to anything. You know what I mean? And if you really want something, you'll make it happen. If he wanted to, he would.
Fuck yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Shout out Kevin Garnett. Anything is possible.